1 Corinthians chapter number 11 in your Bibles this evening. 1 Corinthians 11. We'll read verse 23 through 27 in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. So go ahead and stand. I'll read verse number 23. If you'll join me on the even verses, 24 and 26. And we'll read down through verse number 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And the Bible says in verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Let's pray for the service this evening. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather for this special service where we remember your crucifixion, God, we ask that you would bless the preaching of your word. We ask that you would touch our hearts and that we would come to love you a little bit more as a result of coming back to the cross this evening. I pray that you would bless the special. May it prepare our hearts for the service. In your name we pray it. Amen.
You ladies enjoyed the good song. So appropriate for tonight, only four services in a calendar year do we take time to observe the Lord's table. And that's not good or bad. That's or right or wrong. That's what, as a church, we have chosen to do. That's what the Lord said, as oft as you do it. And there's no set time. I did a whole message on that earlier, I think, this year. But that makes these services very special. When we only have four of them in the calendar year, I always look forward to it. There's not another group of people on planet Earth I'd rather be here with tonight than you folks, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And so tonight I want to speak on the subject, the equality of the Lord's Supper, the equality of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together and we'll jump in. Lord, we're thankful tonight for this ordinance that you left us. We are grateful always for the ordinance of baptism to see folks who've been saved follow you, and that step of obedience is always a cause of rejoicing. And what it symbolizes and represents is just beyond even comprehension. The fact that we're buried with Christ and risen with Him to walk in newness of life. And then, Lord, when we come to this ordinance, the Lord's table, and we're reminded of the body and blood of Christ and the sacrifice, again, our hearts leap with joy, God, at the opportunity we have tonight to invest some time in this matter. So help me, please, fill us with your Spirit's power to both speak and hear what the Word of God would have for us tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Question. Can you imagine taking the time and making the effort and investing the money in fuel to come to church and then not being the better for it, but the worse? Now think about that. You know, it might be, as I mentioned last Sunday night, you might have a bad day in church. And you might come and leave on the same plane. But, you know, if coming together doesn't do you good, it would be horrible if it does you bad. I don't think in all my years of going faithfully to church that I can say that that's ever happened. I truly believe I have always been the better for going to church, not the worse. Not the worse. Maybe one time when at a business meeting after a service in Tennessee on a Wednesday night when they were trying to vote through a $20 pay raise for the assistant pastor. Oh, my goodness, you'd have thought that the church was giving the moon away, and men standing up and the poor man sitting in the service and men arguing over whether he was worth a $20 a week raise or not. And I was boiling because he had been a blessing to me, and I thought, good night. And I could just see his face. It was just turning redder by the second. This is ridiculous. And I actually left that service a little bit. Ugh, that's awful. Maybe that was the one time I went to church when I went home the worse instead of the better. I don't think that's ever happened more than once in all the years I've been faithfully going to church. Now, Paul told the Corinthian people in this chapter that their gathering together was not for the better, but for the worse. Look at verse 17. That's earlier in the chapter than when we just read. Look at verse 17. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, the thing I'm about to talk to you about," he says, "I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse." So their coming to church didn't do them good, it did them bad. I can't imagine that. Your coming together is not doing you any good at all. In fact, it's hurting you. You're not the better for coming to church. You're the worse for it. And here's the reason, folks. Look at what he says in verse 18. "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions," that's plural, "among you." So the divisions in this church were so many and so deep that when the people came together for a service, they were actually worse off than before they came. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the spirit and the attitude of division being so deep that people leave in a worse condition than when they came? I want to say at the beginning of that, I don't think that happens here. I don't think that happens here. God forbid that it ever would happen here. So I'm not preaching tonight to solve a problem. I'm just preaching a truth because churches need truth. Amen. And churches are susceptible to anything that has happened before in history. And the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So I'm just giving you a Bible lesson tonight on the subject of the Lord's Supper. Paul said, "I hear that there be divisions among you several, more than one." So these divisions were so many and so deep that when the people actually came together for a service, they were worse off than before they came. "There were also heresies among the people," beginning in verse 19, "for there must be also heresies among you." Heresies in behavior. I don't think he's talking here about doctrinal heresies. I think he's talking about behavioral heresies. practical heresies that were directly related to the divisions between the believers. You see, there is behavioral heresy, and that stems from the problems that we have in our own hearts. Now, most times when we think about heresy, we jump to doctrinal heresy, denying the deity of Christ and work salvation and hyper-Calvinism and those type things. But and as those are true, those are doctrinal heresies. But behavioral heresy is the result of problems that we have in our own hearts. Here's what happens. When God's people are so mad at each other, when God's people are so angry, when God's people are so bitter, when they are so upset with each other inside a church body, that there is no fellowship, there is no blending of hearts in worship of God, that is behavioral heresy. Behavioral heresy. And that is what was going on in Corinth. And Paul specifically mentions here the behavioral heresy that was taking place in the name of, now understand this, the Lord's Supper. They were experiencing behavioral heresy. Divisions and contentions and anger and bitterness and madness in the name, and it was manifesting itself in the name of the Lord's Supper. A kind of potluck atmosphere had been created around the Lord's Supper. And everybody was bringing their own food. And you know, you and I think about a potluck as being a wonderful time. You want to get Baptist to church, have a potluck supper. People come out of the woodwork. People you haven't seen in 6 years. They heard there was food. Free food. And there they come running. But this is a different type of thing here. Everybody was bringing their own food. But the result was not what you and I think of happening at a potluck. There was a selfishness. There was an isolation mentality. You eat what you brought and we will eat what we brought. And there was like a sectarian approach. I'm not going to sit with that crowd, and that crowd can't sit with my crowd, and I'm not going to be caught with that bunch, and that bunch can't be caught with my... Paul said, that's behavioral heresy. That's what that is in a church. That's behavioral heresy. There's selfishness. Problem was, some could and did bring lavish spreads because they could afford it. Others only brought a paltry measure of food. Some people were gorging themselves to the point of being hurt. Has that ever happened to you? You ever gone to one of those all-you-can-eat places? There is a big difference in being full and being hurt. I've been hurt. Have you been hurt? I've been hurt. I've been full. You know, you're full, but you say something like, well, just one more lap to take a look at what's up there. Amen. And by the time you take that lap and sit back down and leave, you're not just full. You're not just, you are hurting. And when you leave the restaurant, it's like, ugh. It's pain. Now, the ideal is just get to the full level and cap it off right there, okay? But that's not what was happening here. Some of these folks were gorging themselves to the extent of being hurt. Some were hurting because they were gorging themselves, and others were hurting because they were hungry. And the twain dare not meet. You with me? I won't sit in the row. I wouldn't sit in the pew with you. I don't want you in the pew with me. I don't want you at the same table with me. So you got a group just lavishly having a wonderful time, and a group just on a paltry measure of food, and the twain should never meet within this church. And folks, you know, it's a little bit different then than it is now. We have to remember what it was like in the first century of the New Testament church. In Acts 2:42, the Bible says they continued together in doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Every time they came together, they were taking the opportunity to remember the Lord's death. Every time in the early days of the New Testament church, every time they were coming together, they were taking the opportunity to remember the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I mean, it was fresh on their minds. Well, it ought to have been. It was just a few days ago. Just 50 days ago. And I talked about that on the day of Pentecost and so forth. So here, the church came together. There was teaching, there was preaching, there was fellowship, there was praying together. And then there was the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. They were engaging that, specifically remembering Christ every time they got together. And the church at Corinth was founded only about 20 years after the death of Christ. So it was still kind of a relatively new, think about that. It was only 20 years old that the churches were being founded and they were participating in the Lord's Supper and so forth. This is still a pretty new concept. However, after a few years, because of the divisions among the people, the coming together for fellowship and the breaking of bread had so deteriorated that it had a negative effect on the people rather than a positive. Think of it, planning a Lord's Supper service and everybody coming together, and it doesn't better us, it makes us worse. That's what's going on. You don't come together for the better. You come together for the worse. This is supposed to be a time of fellowship. This is supposed to be a time of God's people blending their hearts together to remember the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And it's deteriorated into this sectarian, isolated, this crowd over here and this bunch over here and this bunch over here and this bunch over here. And the twain never meets. That's sad. It's horrible sad. It's behavioral heresy. Now, folks, listen carefully. Our concern and compassion for people without Christ is of the utmost importance. I'm talking about lost people. A group of believers must be committed to reaching the lost in order to be what God wants them to be. That will never change. Should never change. But let me tell you something else. At the same time, our attitude, our spirit, our love for each other is just as vital for us to be what God wants us to be as anything else, as reaching the lost. And that's what Paul's dealing with here. That you folks are in a church body. You're in a church assembly of believers, born again, baptized believers, and you're coming together for the cause of the Lord's Supper, but there is so much division among you, it's actually worse. It's actually having a negative impact on you rather than a positive impact. Can I remind you what John 13, 34 through 35, what Jesus said? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love you have for the lost. Not what he said. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another within the born again community, within the born again assembly. That is going to be the defining mark of a follower of Jesus Christ, is his dedicated, his committed, his undying, his passionate love for his fellow brother and sister in Christ. That's what the Lord said. That's not Terry Angel's words. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's words from John 13. And I want to tell you something. Ugliness and distrust and bitterness and malice and anger toward another believer in this body is behavioral heresy. That's exactly what it is. And this behavioral heresies are caused by divisions. Now hear me, not over matters of right and wrong, but over things that are so ridiculous. Chapter 1, he dealt with it. He said, I hear these divisions among you. You know, some say I'm of this group and others of you are that group. And I'm of this man and this man. I follow him and I follow this guy. And it is so deep, you can't get along with each other. Now tell me that's important to fight over. That's ridiculous. And that's exactly what was happening here to the church at Corinth. And it was almost like an attitude, an atmosphere of superiority or an atmosphere of elitism had developed within the church at Corinth. And you know what? You're not of my type and you're not of my culture and you're not of my educational background and you're not of my financial standing and you're not of my race and you're not of my gender. So you know what? Just keep your distance. I'll tell you something. That's behavioral heresy when it comes to the body of Christ. Behavioral heresy. Absolutely. It's a result of divisions and schisms and attitudes that are not Christ honoring. Look, people, I am not advocating a warm and fuzzy kumbaya approach to Christianity, breaking down all the barriers in the denominational world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about within the four walls of this assembly right here. I'm talking about within this body at Faith Baptist Church located at 1280 Armour Road and Mooney, this corner right here. I'm talking amongst you and me. I'm talking about there ought never be, and I don't think there is, but I'm just going to preach it because it happened in Corinth and it could happen here. There ought never be a superiority or elitism based on anything because that is destructive. Horribly destructive. And that is behavioral heresy. So Paul addresses that. And look at what he says at the end of verse number 22. Look at what he says here to these folks. Look at the end of verse number 22. What? He says, What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He said, what a shame, church. You have taken something that is supposed to be a time of rejoicing and worship and fellowship and remembrance and reflection on the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross of Calvary, and you've turned it into this sectarian, divided, I am of this guy, and don't you cross the border over to me, and I'm going to stay in my little space, and you stay in yours, and it's okay if you sit on that side of the auditorium, but don't you sit in my pew. And Paul said, it's sickening. It's sickening. He said, I don't praise you in this. He said, in fact, you're coming together is for the worse, not the better. That's what he's saying here. Now, and then immediately after saying that in verse number 22, he goes right into, in verse number 23, dealing with the real purpose of the Lord's Supper. And the real purpose of the Lord's Supper is not for these divisions to be magnified and brought to the surface, but the real purpose of the Lord's Supper is for all of us to remember the death of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice, His death. Now, you know what is important about coming to this time we call the Lord's Supper tonight, folks. Here's what's important for us to do this on a regular basis. The ground is all level at what this represents. What does this represent? This does not represent the resurrection. This represents the cross. His body and His blood. This represents the cross. And the ground is all level. You know what this represents, folks? This represents how all of us got in. This represents how every one of us got. No matter your age, no matter your background, no matter your culture, no matter your this, no matter your that. Everybody that got in right here. I don't mean taking the bread and the drink. Physically, I mean by faith you came to what this represents. You came to the body and blood, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in, you got in the same way everybody who's in got in right here. It's equal ground. It's equal footing. It puts everybody on the same level. Now listen, I've already said this, I'm not advocating some kind of warm and fuzzy equality when it comes to leadership in a church, when it comes to how things ought to be run. You know that. We've discussed that. We've preached that. We've practiced that here at Faith Baptist. But I am saying when it comes to the matter of fellowship, when it comes to the matter of love for one another, when it comes to the matter of appreciating another brother or sister in Christ, you ought to be able to look across this auditorium from corner to corner and have pleasant thoughts about everybody in this building. Happy thoughts and good thoughts. And this is part of what this does. It reminds us that no matter where we may be now, this is where we started. Everybody. This is where we got in. And we're not all going to be the same. We're not all going to be the same in our Christianity. To think that every person is going to get saved and the extent of that salvation is going to be lived out the same in everybody's life, that's not even sensible. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The extent of Christianity and salvation is not going to be lived out the same in every person's life. That will never happen. There are going to be some more educated and some less educated. Some school educated, some home educated. Some who are more cultured, others who are less cultured. Some who are more wealthy, others who are less wealthy. some who are more conservative, others who are more liberal. And I don't mean liberal in the sense of wrong. I just mean they're not as conservative in their Christianity. I'm talking about within the body of this assembly. But it's not a cause for division. It's not a cause for division. Not at all. When we come together, never should there be divisions based on those things, because the evidence, listen, the entrance fee for everybody was paid in full by the body and blood of the Lamb of God. Yes, sir. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Your own. Work out your own. Look, think about this. Let's use this as an illustration. This whole idea of the redistribution of wealth is absolutely stupid. It's impossible. Folks, if we took every member of this congregation, if we had the power to do this, we don't. If we had the power to do this, if we had the power to liquidate the financial assets of everybody in this congregation, liquidate it into cash, so that nobody has anything. Put it all in this great big pool, and from this great big pool, give every member of Faith Baptist Church $1,000, $5,000, whatever it is. Everybody gets the same. Everybody's financial assets have been liquidated. It's all gone in this great big pool, and we have redistribution Sunday. And every member, you reckon they'd show up? Hey, brother, praise the Lord, everybody come. Even those that have been dead for 6 years would come back. And here you go, every member, here's your thousand, here's your thousand, here's your... Now we're all equal. In 2 weeks' time, we would not be equal. In 10 days' time, we would not be equal. In 24 hours' time, we'd not be equal. Come on, say amen. You know that's true. Some people would blow it in 24 hours. Other folks would squeeze that stuff until it doubled. Now, come on. So where's the equality? That is absolutely insane. Everybody's going to take that $1,000, that $5,000, and do something different with it. Do you know, now follow my reasoning here, do you know that salvation, everybody's salvation is kind of like that $1,000? What we do with our own salvation is never going to be equal. Are you with me? You're running it through your mind. Some will minimize it. And they'll only benefit the minimum from salvation, and that's just a fire escape from hell. Now, I must admit, that's a pretty good minimum right there. But, brother, that's the minimum. Other people will maximize it. They'll take that thing and they'll work it and they'll use it, not work to be saved, but work because they are saved, and take all the principles of Christianity and salvation and put them to work in their life. Put them to work in their thoughts and their words and their behavior and their actions, and God will bless and God will just use them, and man, they'll maximize the salvation that Jesus gave them. Others will fall in between somewhere. Are you with me? Okay? It will never be equal. Some will just maximize the benefits. Others will minimize it. But hear me, friend, when it comes to this time, when it comes to this gathering, when it comes to this assembly, we all got ours handed out the same way. Does that make sense to y'all? I would hate... I'd hate to go to a church so engulfed in sectarianism and division over nonsensical things that the coming together of the body did people more damage than good. Crazy. But that's what was going on. That was going on in Corinth. This ordinance pictures how we came in. We came in through what the bread pictures. The body of Jesus. And we came in through what the juice pictures. The blood of Jesus. The body and blood of the Lamb of God is how we all got in this thing called the local New Testament church. The proper and right thing to do is set aside and drop any malice or anger or bitterness you hold against anybody in this assembly, and drop any kind of superiority or elitism based on any kind of... You know, it amazes me. Rick Dawson is from Chicago. And when I preach with Rick, he takes advantage of his time in the pulpit to just nail rednecks. Oh, he just nails rednecks. And he's always got this great, you teenagers that were up there, he's got this great big list and you know you're a redneck if. And he just goes on and on, you know. More of my relatives have died. How do you know if you're a redneck? If more of your relatives have died after saying, hey, watch this, than anything else. You know, and what's funny is that some of the things that Rick Dawson reads and all the kids, I sit over on the side and I think, what is so funny about that? That's how we lived. That's how we grew up. That's not really even funny. That's just how it was. And when you get to a New Testament church like this, you take these matters that I've been talking about tonight. You take education. You take culture. You take a race. You take gender. You take finances. You take it, folks. There's never going to be equality in all of that. Never. But that is no cause for division and elitism and superiority or even inferiority. Every born-again child of God. You know what this is right here, folks? You know what this is tonight? This is ground zero. This is ground zero. This is where everybody who's saved got in. Now, what you've done with your salvation since you got in is not going to be equal. Not going to be equal. But that never gives you or anybody else or me or anybody the privilege to look down our nose at somebody, because you know what? The truth of the matter is, no matter what's happened since we got saved, this is where we got in. That's where we got in. I love the story. I've told it several times about old Tang, Brother Scott's great-grandfather, old William Christie over there in Tibet. We have the great-grandson of William Christie, Brother Bowen. He pioneered the gospel to Tibet years and years ago. And have I ever given you that book? I'll give you the book after church tonight. Don't run off. Let me give you that book before you go. Brother Scott makes those available for us to give out. But in chapter 13, when they tell that story of old Tang getting saved, and he's a beggar, he's a thief, he's got matted hair, he's got a pasty complexion, he's an opium sot, he's dressed in rags, and he carries a beggar's stick to beat off the dogs. He stinks. He doesn't bathe. His body odor and the stench of the opium, the burnt opium from smoking all that opium, created such a smell on this man that people would literally give him a wide berth when he walked down the streets. He was destitute. And William Christie was preaching in a little old street chapel I can't pronounce the name of the city there where he was preaching. And old Tang came down the sidewalk and opened the back door of that little chapel and stood inside that back door. And that night, William Christie was up preaching on the love of God. And they said that old Tang stood in the back for several minutes listening to this missionary preach on the love of God. And he just slowly, gradually started making his way down to the front of the auditorium, step by step down the aisle. That probably wasn't very far. It came all the way down to where he was standing right in front of the pulpit, staring right up into William Christie's face. And interrupted the service and raised his voice and said, is that really true? Is there a God who actually would love a man like me? And the biographer, the writer, said that without hesitation, William Christie, he could not just answer the man yes and express it as it really was. Without hesitation, he left the pulpit. He came down to the floor. He put his arm around old Tang, stinking all. And he said, yes, it is true. There is a God who loves you. And his love is evidenced on Calvary that he loves a thief like you. And with tears streaming down both their faces, they knelt and old Tang got saved. You know, he actually became the treasurer for all those chapels and churches that William Christie was starting over there. A thief. Folks, you don't take a man who's stolen money and give him the church money. But they did. You say, how in the world could William Christie leave the pulpit and come down and put his arm around the shoulders of a man that stunk with body odor and burnt opium and tell him about the love of Christ? I'm going to tell you how William Christie never forgot how he got in. Now, brother, you might get in with a suit and tie on. You might get in with no baggage, like alcoholism or drugs or prostitution. I don't care what it was like. Everybody, we all of us, this is where we got in. And when we have this observance, when we have this ordinance, we can come together as a body of believers and know our salvation has not all been worked out equally from life to life to life to life. Some are struggling. Some are advancing. Some have stopped in their tracks. Some are digressing. There's not going to be an equality of growth and manifestation of salvation in all of our lives. That's never going to be the case. But when it comes to this, I can look across every aisle here, every part of this auditorium, and look at a brother, look at a sister, look at a brother, a sister, a brother, a sister, a brother, a sister in Christ. I got no animosity. I got no ugliness. I'm not separated from you. 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 I'm not separated from any of you tonight. There's nothing in my heart against anybody in this church. No matter where you are in your spiritual walk, no matter where you are in your spiritual growth, this is the Lord's Supper. This is where we all got in. And that's what we're here to recognize tonight. This is where we got in. This is where we found salvation. This is where Jesus came and washed our sins and birthed us anew and forgave us and made us a child of God. Hey, it's fellowship time. It's worship time. It's not division time. It's not, no sir, it's not sectarian time. Absolutely not. It's not I'm better than you and please don't violate my space. No. This is where we all got in. This is ground zero. We come tonight in good harmony and good Christian fellowship to remember the price that was paid for all of us to get in. The body and blood of the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. I hope that made sense to you tonight. God forbid that that would ever take place at Faith Baptist Church. And I think one of the things that helps prevent it is times like this when we all come back and remember where we all got in. Where we all got in. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this ordinance. Lord, the opportunity that's before us tonight to meet together as an assembly of believers. And Lord, we're going to set aside and need to set aside. Lord, at this time, there's never going to be any equality in the manifestation of salvation in every life. No. There's always going to be somebody struggling, somebody advancing, somebody digressing. And those names and circumstances change. Well, Lord, we come to the Lord's Supper. This is where we all got in. This is the body. This is the blood of the Lamb of God. Not literally, but pictorially, symbolically tonight. And we come with one thought. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our soul. Thank you for making us whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Lord Jesus, thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. God, if there is one tonight with any kind of malice, anger, bitterness, division in their heart toward a brother or sister, I pray it would be buried tonight in the blood of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray, to worship you tonight, God, through this ordinance. To embrace it and to enjoy every bit of it that you want us to enjoy. Thank you for it. We love you. In Jesus' name.